Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The National Defense Authorization Act of 2015 was approved by the U.S. House by a vote of 300 to 119. Here's a short list of what's wrong with the bill. It reduces benefits for troops and their families, keeps pay raises at 1%, reduces housing subsidies by 1%, and cuts subsidies for military commissaries, of course, it's where the troops and their families buy their groceries, and additionally also designates new national parks and wilderness areas. Speeds the permit process for oil and gas drilling and measures related to energy and minerals, as if those had anything to do with the defense of our nation. But what the media is not talking about are the feminist pork, gender-neutral occupational standards, and other problematic issues. My guest today is Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Nice to talk to you, Diane.
Start with what is the Center for Military Readiness?
Well, CMR, Center for Military Readiness, is a public policy organization, nonpartisan, and we specialize and concentrate on the military social issues. So we deal with all kinds of issues right now. Women in land combat is an issue of great concern, sexual assaults and misconduct and how they're dealt with by the Pentagon. Believe me, we never run out of things to think about and write about and analyze. But women in combat especially is a very big issue right now.
Oh, absolutely. And does it seem to be that the last 6 years or so there's been more issues dealing with the military than in past administrations?
Yes. The Obama administration is determined to use the armed forces as a venue for social engineering, payoffs to political constituency groups. The most obvious example of that was, of course, in 2010, the repeal of the 1993 law regarding homosexuals in the military, the one that was always mislabeled, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That was repealed in the lame duck session, rammed through under very questionable circumstances. And the president did that, of course, to deliver on promises made to the LGBT left, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and now the T in that equation, the transgenders, are pushing very hard on the White House because they want full rights and benefits and recognition, as well as the other groups, the LGBs, if you will. And what we're seeing, the results of those social experiments have not been positive. Virtually everything we predicted has come about. And we're also seeing, when you look at these numbers on sexual assault, they came out just yesterday, and the numbers have always been going upward, although you have to look at them in a different way than most media has been doing. You have two sets of numbers. Virtual numbers based on a survey, an online survey of thousands of military members, and then you have actual numbers. Well, the survey numbers actually dipped slightly yesterday, and the Pentagon is saying, see, there's less reports in the survey of sexual misconduct problems. But the actual numbers have increased by 8% on top of 50% 2 years ago, actually a year ago. So between 2012 and today, 2 years, you have a 62% increase in actual cases.
62.
But hardly anybody's talking about the actual cases. Everyone's talking about the allegations, the survey results, which, by the way, are four times higher than the real cases. It gets very complicated, doesn't it?
Oh,
and
sure.
You get the sense that the entire exercise, and it's very costly in terms of time and diverted energy, it is to advance the social agenda of the president, and it's inconsistent, actually, with the big push for women in land combat.
Yeah. So you're saying that there's a 62% increase in the sexual assault cases?
Yes. So the actual numbers show that in fiscal year 2013, there was an 8% increase in sexual assaults, okay? And this is on top of a 50% increase reported by the New York Times in November of last year, quoting an official Department of Defense report. And you can see that in 2012, the numbers went up from 2,828 up to over 4,000, 4,608 to be exact. And if you take out the calculator, that's actually 63% increase in 2 years. So here's the funny thing, though. No matter what the numbers say, you can spin higher reports as if, oh, that means people are being more confident coming forward. And then they just flatly deny that real numbers are signs that we ought to be concerned about social turmoil in the military. We need to be sensible about this. There is a problem, and the problem is getting worse. Mm-hmm. But doing surveys and exaggerating the number helps only these professionals who work for outfits like RAND. RAND designed the survey this year.
Okay.
They just line up and get their government grants and put out their reports, you know, 1,000 pages plus. It doesn't help military in any way.
No, because
having said all that, the Department of Defense has taken many positive steps to deal with the scourge of sexual assaults in the military. It's a terrible problem.
Yeah.
But the DOD really has done some extraordinary things, and I would certainly give them credit for that. And they have recommendations that they're going to be following up in the coming year. There is absolutely no reason to pass the legislation that's been sponsored and fanatically pushed by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that what she was pushing, that amendment, did not pass in the House version.
That's right.
Okay.
She was defeated back in the spring of this year.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. And she says, oh, I think I need another try.
And her
need another
thing.
Chance.
Yeah.
She just keeps on coming.
Well, that
and
sounds...
unfortunately, she has brought on board people who ought to know better, including Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Senators Grassley, and Susan Collins. I'm not concerned
not surprised
about her.
Surprise.
But I'm very disappointed that Senator Cruz doesn't realize if you're against violence against women in the military, and he is, he states that's his reason and rationale, you have to look at the facts. Her bill is not the answer to this problem. What she wants to do is change the Uniform Code of Military Justice so that local commanders, who have to have command of everything, they have to be responsible for everything.
Yeah.
She wants these legal cases to go to independent judicial authorities who don't have responsibility of command.
Not military?
No, they would be military, but they would not be part of that command.
Of the chain of command.
Now, that is not going to help a woman who's worried about retaliation or anything else. It's only going to complicate cases, and guess what? There will be fewer prosecutions, because if you have an outside authority, many of these cases are very shaky, and they don't have enough evidence. There's not enough reason to pursue them. And so you're going to have more frustration, not less, if the Gillibrand bill passes.
Wow.
It's really a mistaken crusade on her part.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Senator Cruz and Senator Paul could be educated that they're wrong and that then this is why you're wrong in supporting.
Well, they need to hear from their constituents and
true.
Other people, especially conservatives, saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you teaming up with the likes of
with
Barbara Boxer
and
Senator Gillibrand, among the most liberal feminists in the entire United States Senate? Even Claire McCaskill was against Senator Gillibrand, and McCaskill made some very sensible comments that I agree with.
Yeah.
So she has shown respect for the military, Senator McCaskill did, by realizing that the military code of justice is different than the civilian world. Is it perfect? No. You can improve training. They are in the process of doing that, training for both adversary attorneys. The defense attorney needs to be fully trained and equally matched against the prosecution. That's the best way to go to get at the truth. What we really need to be looking at and pushing for is justice. And justice does not always mean that the person is found guilty, but according to Senator Gillibrand, she believes any accusation has to be considered credible automatically, even if there's no evidence to back it up.
Well, reminds me of Ferguson, Missouri. Anyway, you know, you're guilty, period. And that's to the eyes of some, that's justice. You've got to be found guilty. But recently there was a situation, I think it was on a ship, that women officers, I believe it was officers, the guys had set up cameras to videotape the women in the showers.
Yes.
And, you know, situations like that, when you put the opposite sexes together, you're inviting situations like that
to occur. Yes, and there was no question raised about this at the news conference that took place at the Pentagon yesterday, and that's most unfortunate. It's brand new that women are on submarines at all.
Yeah.
You have, starting with officers on the larger submarines. This was one of the first submarines to be gender integrated. So you hear Pentagon officials saying, oh, how wonderful and superb, it's all working out just great. And then a story like this comes along, and they hope that nobody notices.
Yeah.
Well, people should notice, because people are human. They make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Both men and women are human.
True.
They get involved in relationships that are unprofessional, to say the least.
And it is against...
It can be either romantic relationship or harassment or worse, on either side of that spectrum. Either way, there's no reason to believe that people on submarines are any more virtuous than people in any other branch of the service.
Yeah. And you put them
and when
in
you have a big
quarters.
Push to have women in the infantry and special operations forces, including Navy SEALs, this makes no sense.
None.
You elevate the risk of misconduct. Why? Because people are human. They make mistakes. To pretend that they are perfectly interchangeable in all roles and nothing bad will happen, it is absolutely irresponsible to impose such a policy on the armed forces. But that's what's happening. And the Congress is just standing by. They're not doing anything about it. They're not raising questions. On the House side, they haven't had hearings since 1997.
1997.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's almost 20 years ago.
Pardon?
That's almost 20 years ago. They've not had...
Yes, exactly. And on the Senate side, they haven't had hearings since 1991. That was the year of the tailhook scandal.
So are they afraid to have hearings?
They only have hearings on sexual assault. They do not have hearings on the assignments of women in combat.
Yeah.
The Presidential Commission, on which I served in 1992, there never was a hearing on the results of our report, unless you count the 5 minutes that I was given on the House side.
Oh, well, they gave you 5 minutes. They figured that's good for 50 years.
Yeah, that was it.
That's
and
crazy.
Yet many of the issues and concerns that we had at that time have indeed played out. Some things have changed. Many things have changed.
Yeah.
One thing that has not changed, maybe it's even increased, respect for the courage of our women in the military. They have really distinguished themselves and done things beyond anyone's expectations back in the 1990s in the current wars. That's a given. No one questions that.
Absolutely.
But there is absolutely no evidence that women are ready for the combat arms. In fact, CMR has produced an interim report on the research that the Marines have been doing on this very subject.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is that when you do tests of women in just standard tests against men, lifting heavy objects or doing things repeatedly in the same way, 1% of the men will fail compared to 28 or 18%, some very large percentage of women in the armor and artillery tests. So we can't ignore these things, and yet that's what the Pentagon is being asked to do.
Especially if they're talking about putting women in the special forces. I mean,
that's
even above and beyond. I mean, most
Such
of military...
Such as ranger training.
Yeah.
The Army is pushing on ranger training.
No.
Well, see, here's the thing. The Marines Infantry Officer Course for officers, the standards are holding very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so far they have not been changed, as far as I know. There's been 24-some women who have attempted that course. Not one has succeeded. Only four got beyond the first day.
Wow.
So we know that they just, as hard
it's
as they try, and they certainly are committed in trying as hard as possible,
mm-hmm.
physiology does make a difference.
God,
carrying 125 pounds for 12 miles, there is a difference in
most
the capability of doing
that.
That.
Yeah, most women can't even pick up that much weight. Let
Pardon?
Alone, most women can't pick up 125 pounds, let alone carry it on their back for
Well, that's
miles.
Right. And even if they can, for a short term, like lifting a 95-pound weight in an artillery test, even if you do it under controlled conditions, the tests that ask you to do it repeatedly, even a smaller weight but do it repeatedly, you have a very high failure rate among the women. And the professionals have said the failure rate would be even higher in a enclosed environment such as a tank or an armed personnel carrier, an armored personnel carrier, an APC. So why are we ignoring the reality? If we follow the numbers, then it should be easy to figure out we should not go there. It's not fair to women. In fact, it's an anti-woman policy.
It is. But
to
the
say
feminist,
that we're going to put high burdens, heavy burdens on their backs is the same as men.
Yeah.
What is more likely to happen because of the risk of injuries, literally broken bones, what is likely to happen is you will have gender-neutral standards, a concept in the defense bill again
mm-hmm.
this year. Gender-neutral does not necessarily mean standards as high as they are now. You can have equal but lower standards, minimum standards, and that very likely is where the armed forces are going to go with this.
Yeah,
they don't have a choice.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I don't think they could, like you said, they would have no choice, because the only way that they can allow women in all aspects of the military would be to lower the standards.
That's right.
And
the tip-off comes from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey,
mm-hmm.
who said in January of this year, well, if the standard is too high, well, then we'll look at it and question it and see if it really does need to be that high. Well, you know where that's going to go.
Right.
He also called for what he called a critical mass
okay.
of women. That means the
for
same
certain.
Thing as what the defense, the Military Leadership Diversity Commission recommended, quotas. They call them diversity metrics.
Uh-huh.
That's gender diversity metrics. That means a quota.
A certain number.
And going back to the submarines, the Navy officials are saying, well, we're going to start putting women on the smaller submarines
mm-hmm, right.
and enlisted women on the smaller subs, and we expect to have a 20% quota
20%
for women on submarines. They're saying that.
Oh, wow.
So it's not something... It's not speculation.
And this is even, I mean, they have, how long has it been that women have been on subs, women officers have been on subs? Just a year?
Maybe a little over a year.
Okay, but they're saying that they're wanting to have 20% of all submarine personnel women? Is that what they're saying?
No, they said I guess that is what they mean. When they start getting into the enlisted ranks, and
yeah.
enlisted women outnumber officers 5-1.
Right.
Then the idea is, well, we have to have a critical mass. We can't have just a few females on a submarine. That just wouldn't work. So we'll have a whole bunch of women on the submarine and then
wow.
pretend that the problems that occur in the surface Navy, they're mm-hmm. not going to occur in the submarines.
In a very much closed environment when you're in a submarine.
Yes. Well, there's also an additional element here that is really unfair to women. Women do have this tendency to get pregnant, okay?
Yeah.
This is part of their physiology, and it's a wonderful thing. The problem is, if a woman is pregnant, perhaps she doesn't know that she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She gets on the submarine, she goes off on a long
mm-hmm.
cruise. That embryo is very subject to birth defects because of the atmosphere that is constantly circulated.
Oh,
it
wow.
cannot be completely scrubbed
mm-hmm.
of trace elements, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide,
yeah.
that in certain concentrations, very early in the pregnancy, can cause severe birth defects. So what does the captain of that ship do? If she notices, I've skipped my period, I might be
mm-hmm.
pregnant, and she finds out that she is,
mm-hmm.
well, then it's two choices, both of them bad.
Yeah.
Either an evacuation in the middle of the ocean, or she stays on the submarine
mm-hmm.
and puts the unborn child at risk.
Risk.
Now, the Navy knows this. This is why they've never done this in the past. But with the onset of this administration, all of that has gone by the board, and nobody's even talking about it.
No one's questioning it. And to them, I mean, is the feminist behind the whole concept, and the Obama administration is enabling
mm-hmm.
this agenda to go forth. But
now, here's another element of it. The defense bill that just passed,
yeah.
Loretta Sanchez has a measure in there calling for gender diversity quotas at the military service academies to increase the percentage of women, which is already pretty high,
yeah.
by 20%, an additional 20%. Now, when you have that many more female officers being educated
right.
at the service academies, where are they going to go? They're going to petition to go into the combat arms. That's
mm-hmm.
where. And Loretta Sanchez knows that. It's just like when the president brings in all the undocumented children
yeah.
from other countries. Then you have a political pressure to accommodate
to change
all
the laws,
of these
yeah.
people who are being used
yeah.
by the administration.
Yeah,
it's most
pause.
Unfortunate, and it's yeah. very unfair. But it's the same principle. You flood the system in a way that causes policy to have to change. This is not sound policy, and I'm very disappointed in the Republican leadership of the Armed Services Committee in the House for going along with this.
Unfortunately, many people are disappointed with the Republicans as a whole. I know, especially here during the lame duck session, the lack of backbone that they, by and large, have shown. And isn't Buck McKeon, he's retiring?
Yes, he is retiring, yeah. And you know, this was not done in a rush. This was back in May.
Yeah.
It was not a rush for the people who wrote this legislation. They got the approval, bipartisan. It was called part of the chairman's mark.
Okay.
That means the package goes through without any debate unless someone chooses to raise a question.
Mm-hmm.
But how could they raise a question when they did not see it in advance?
They didn't see it in advance.
The way it was done, I understand she wanted something worse than that.
Oh, wow.
She wanted the enlisted women who have gotten through the infantry course, not officer course. Several dozen women have gotten through that course. But it is nowhere near what the officer course is. So she wanted to change the law or mandate that they be admitted into the infantry, paying absolutely no attention to the legal consequences, the way it would affect training and standards and misconduct issues. Why do we have to transfer all of those issues into the combat arms? Again, it's not just the men and women who are to blame. It's the policymakers, because they are being so naive.
I think
the social engineering is going to be a positive thing.
I think the majority of the blame lays at the feet of the policymakers, because a lot of them don't have any military background, and they've made no attempt to talk to those in the military to get their feedback. I mean, not a fake survey like they did before the repeal of so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but, you know, to really talk to the enlisted personnel and the officers.
Well, when they did get data from the troops in 2010, a survey that was done of thousands of troops, that survey instrument was done as part of a study that was co-chaired by Jay Johnson, who is now the head of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that certain leaks were starting to show up in the media, and a few of us questioned, where are these leaks coming from?
Yeah.
The Secretary of Defense ordered up an investigation, Department of Defense Inspector General investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out Jay Johnson was scripting the results of that survey before the survey even went out.
Oh, wow.
He did this. He was writing the executive summary and polishing it with the help of a retired journalist from NBC. And he did this in July before the survey even went out.
And
mysteriously, the Washington Post received a story, and they verified it and ran with it, saying that 70% of the military was okay with this. No, that was not true, but that's what was leaked
to the
Washington Post.
Yeah. And the guy's rewarded by being made the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes. I was very dismayed by that nomination. I think he is a fixer for the president.
Oh, there's no doubt.
He did something similar on the immigration issue with all the undocumented children pouring over our borders.
Yeah.
He just sort of looked the other way and made it work. This person is, like Eric Holder, very much of a mind to do what the president wants to the exclusion of what's best for the country and before that what was best for the military.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's very smooth.
He is that, and a lot of Obama's operatives are very smooth. But,
yeah,
you know,
we met with him. He reached out to meet with us. He has this reputation for reaching out.
Okay.
But really, the purpose of those meetings was to find out where the hot buttons were and what we did not want to hear. And he left all of that out of the report, and he spun it, denying everything that we were concerned about. He denied it. Things like marriage benefits for same-sex couples. Oh, that'll never happen. Same-sex marriages on bases, that'll never happen.
And it has.
Well, it did happen
very quickly
after the law was repealed. And frankly, I think he knew it all along.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, that was their whole game plan, was to normalize homosexuality,
the military leads the way.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like the Jonathan Gruber approach, you know, but it isn't the American people who are stupid. Many members of Congress are very gullible.
They're very gullible. Very gullible.
They're gullible, and they believe things that they should scrutinize and not be so gullible.
Yeah, and in this case, it's the women in the military who are the victims of their gullibility.
Women in the military, their voices are not being heard. A survey was done by the Army showing that over 92% of women in the Army want nothing to do with direct ground combat assignments.
92%.
And to be clear, these are the ones that attack the enemy.
Yeah.
Infantry, armor, artillery, special operations forces, and the like, the Navy SEALs. These are the tip of the spear units.
Yeah.
Women have wide open opportunities in the military. They are promoted at rates equal to or faster than men. There is no career reason to do this.
Yeah.
And I think women in the military know it, but they don't have any opportunity
to
speak.
Nope, they
and
don't.
When their opinions are requested, they're not reported accurately, kind of swept under the rug, or in the case of the Army, just ignored.
Yeah. Well, can the system be fixed? I mean, we're so far down the road, so to speak, in remaking our military. Can the system be fixed, or you know, the policymakers themselves have to change their views or something? I don't know. Is it fixable?
Well, it starts with the president. We need, obviously, a new president who has his priorities straight.
Yeah.
And it really is quite simple. If you look at any issue, no matter what it is, and you say that, okay, equal opportunity or other things are important, but if there is a conflict, the needs of the military come first.
Oh, yeah.
That was the principle that the Presidential Commission on which I served, we decided on that very early in the process, and then we applied that principle to every issue that came before us. That's really the only way to go.
Yeah.
But once you start to politicize the military and use it for political payoffs and social engineering, and you're not accurate, or you allow emotions to take over instead of looking at issues objectively, that's when you run into problems. And when the problems start showing up in ways like sexual assault numbers that are going up, even though the survey numbers show them going down, when you look at these, the way the Pentagon is trying to make it all work, you see a lot of deception and misinformation. And yet, the problems keep showing up. Well, it's time to hold accountable the people in the Pentagon, because they're the ones who created the circumstance to encourage all this.
Absolutely, because they haven't had the courage to speak up and to stand up against this commander-in-chief. How can folks contact you?
Well, the best way is through our website. It's at www.cmrlink.org. And there's a spot there for confidential contact from military people, especially, and families. We love to hear from military folks telling us what is happening in the field. We have a Facebook page also, Center for Military Readiness. So either way, we'd love to hear from people, and we're going to have a very busy year. We're hoping next year we'll have better leadership in the Congress, and 2 years after that in the White House. But there's a lot of work to be done.
Oh, there sure is. So I encourage folks to go to cmrlink.org
right,
to check out the website and to like the Center for Military Readiness Facebook page.
Thanks,
Elaine, for staying up on this stuff and explaining this stuff that's going on with the military, so that we can better understand the full impact of the social engineering that we see taking place. So you take care and have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.